Thank you, Dr. Darup. I'll present my study on phosphorus flux from the canal sediments of the Avilés agricultural area. The Everglades agricultural area is located in South Florida, and it's in between Lake Okeechobee and the Everglades National Park. This area is 280,000 hectares of organic soils, mostly histosols. And this area is cropped to mostly sugarcane, vegetables, rice, and sod. Owing to the flat topography of this area, drainage is accomplished through a network of canals and the use of pumps. And agricultural drainage water typically flows from the farms to the farm canals to the main canals, and ultimately it flows downstream to the Everglades National Park. And this agricultural drainage water, it typically contributes phosphorus, and also it carries sediments with it. So due to years of agriculture and phosphorus loading, there has been an accumulation of phosphorus in these sediments, which can now act as a phosphorus source or a phosphorus sink, generating an internal load of phosphorus. And because these sediments can be transported, they can act as a phosphorus source wherever they are transported, which is a concern for the phosphorus-limited ecosystem of the Everglades, because high levels of phosphorus can be adversely affected by these high levels of phosphorus. So my objectives were to identify this phosphorus release potential from the canals of the Everglades agricultural area. The canals were the Miami Canal, the West Palm Beach Canal, and the Ocean Canal. And to accomplish my objectives, I performed three different experiments. One is the incubation study, where I incubated intact cores, and I maintained them in aerobic conditions through airflow from pumps. And I performed three different exchanges with water from the water conservation areas. And the conservation areas water ranged in phosphorus concentration from 7 parts per billion to 10 parts per billion. The exchanges are typically where I maintain the same water over a period of time, in this case 28 days, after which I suction off the water and then fill in fresh water and then start off a new exchange. And within each exchange, at definite periods of time, I sampled water and analyzed them for soluble reactive P or SRP. I also did a physical chemical property study and also a phosphorus fractionation study. So to identify the release potential, first of all, we started off by collecting intact cores from these canals. And we chose four different transects from the canals. And these transects are actually sections from the canals where we took our cores. So we chose four different cores from each of the four transects, from each of the three canals, leading to a total of 48 cores. But three cores from each transect and each canal were taken for the incubation experiment, and the rest of which were taken for physicochemical properties and the phosphorus fractionation. Results. This is a table containing selected physicochemical properties from the main canals. So here we find that the total P for the Miami and West Palm Beach Canal is higher than the Ocean Canal. But we do also notice that the highest total P occurred in Miami Canal in the fourth transect. And the bulk density for Ocean Canal is higher than either Miami and West Palm Beach Canal, with the exception that the fourth transect in Miami Canal had the highest bulk density value. And the percent organic matter, we find the values are more or less comparable between the canals, but the fourth transect had the least amount of percent organic matter value. And this is understandable because we just found that the fourth transect had the highest bulk density values, which means this transect had the had highest mineral matter, and that's why we observed this low percent organic matter value. And here, here we find that the pH for the Ocean Canal that's higher than either Miami and West Palm Beach Canal. This is the chart for phosphorus fractions of the canals where I plot the transects in the x-axis and the phosphorus concentration in the y-axis. So here I find we find that the KCLP, which is a measure of readily available P, and that is represented by the red bar on the top, it accounted for just 1% of the total P in all the transects and all the canals. And the sodium hydroxide PI, which is a measure of phosphorus that is associated with iron and aluminum, that is represented by the yellow bar, this phosphorus fraction is available when there is redox fluctuation. And this represents about 3 to 8% of total P from the Miami and West Palm Beach Canal. The sodium hydroxide PO, which is represented by the brown bar, this phosphorus fraction is thought to be associated with the humic and fulvic acid fractions of the organic matter. And this fraction is ranged from about 2 to 8% in Miami Canal and West Palm Beach Canal. And this phosphorus fraction is available when there is mineralization of the organic matter. The highest phosphorus fraction among all these transects and all these canals was from HCLP, which is represented by the bluish-green bar. And this phosphorus fraction is thought to be associated with calcium and magnesium. And this is not as available as the other fractions that I mentioned under the canal conditions. The last fraction, which was in fact the second highest fraction, was the residue P that is represented in the pink bar. And this phosphorus fraction is very stable, and it is thought to be associated with recalcitrant organic matter and occluded to mineral surfaces. The other thing that we notice that in the ocean canal, the combined available P, which is the KCLP, the sodium hydroxide PI, and the sodium hydroxide PO, represented just about 5% of the total P, and the rest was unavailable HCLP and residue P. The other thing that we noticed that the fourth transect, the Miami Canal, where we just found it had the highest total P, but here we find that the high total P, it comes at the cost of HCLP, which is not available for release under these canal conditions. And we also noticed that in Miami Canal, the four transects are very different from each other. I mean, there's a lot of variability in between them. This is a chart of cumulative phosphorus release from Miami Canal. And we plot time in the x-axis and phosphorus flux in the y-axis. And here we find that the highest phosphorus release was from the second and third transect, which is the red and the yellow line. And this high phosphorus release is understandable because these two transects had high total P and also high organic matter. But we do find very low phosphorus release from the fourth transect, which is the blue line. And this is in spite of the fact that this transect had very high, in fact, the highest total P. But this is also a point to be noted that when we saw the phosphorus fraction for this transect, we found that the high total P was just in terms of HCLP. I mean, most of it was just HCLP, which is not available for release. And in the physical mole properties, we did find that this transect had very high mineral matter and very less organic matter. And we do also find that there's also a low phosphorus release from the first transect, which is represented by the purple line. This is the cumulative phosphorus release from the West Palm Beach Canal, where we find that the phosphorus release is lower than the Miami Canal. And this is in spite of the fact that we did find comparable total P organic matter and bulk density values between the Miami Canal and this West Palm Beach Canal. The reason we think is because of the presence of alternating layers of calcium carbonate, which were actually trapping the phosphorus release from the sediments. And this is the cumulative phosphorus release from ocean canal. And here too, we find that the phosphorus release is much lower than Miami Canal, but it's comparable to West Palm Beach Canal. And this is expectable because we did find low total P, high bulk density, and high pH values in this transect, in these canals. But in the phosphorus fractions, we also found that the available P was just about 5% of the total P, and the rest was unavailable P, that is HCLP and residue P. But we did also find the presence of a lot of shells in this canal, which was actually reducing the effective surface area and which was reducing the phosphorus release from this canal. We did conduct a correlation study between different phosphorus fractions and these properties with cumulative phosphorus release. But we didn't find a significant correlation between the different fractions, but we did find a positive and significant correlation with total P, which means the higher the total P is, the higher is the cumulative phosphorus release. And we did also find a positive correlation with percent organic matter, which means higher the organic matter is, higher is the cumulative phosphorus release. We did also find a negative correlation between bulk density and pH with cumulative phosphorus release. This is also understandable because the higher the bulk density is, the higher the pH, the higher is the mineral matter in these canals. And higher mineral matter in these canals comes in terms of higher HCLP, which is not available for release in these canals. So in summary, we can say that the sediments of Amami Canal, they release high phosphorus than either West Palm Beach and Ocean Canal. And this high phosphorus release is shown to be associated with high total P, high organic matter, and low bulk density and low pH. But we do think there are several other factors which are affecting the phosphorus release, and that was what generating the variability between the three canals. And some of those factors we think are the distribution, the spatial distribution of the calcium carbonate layers, the presence of shells, etc. And we did also find that HCLP, that was the dominating fraction of all the transects and all the canals in this area. And with that, I would like to acknowledge my advisor, my committee members, my group members, and my funding agency, which is Everglades Agricultural Area Environmental Protection District. And with that, I'm ready to take on any questions. First of all, the canals are very different because when we sample like the ocean canal, sampling was very different, very difficult because we had a hard time getting intact cores, which means maybe the sediment depth was not enough. And also the sediments were very mineral in nature, and there were almost 2 to 3 centimeters of shells on the top. So ocean canal was very mineral and sediment depth, very low, presence of shells. And Miami Canal, the first three transects, the sediment depth was high, but the fourth transect even visually was very mineral in nature. It was ash in color, whereas the other, they were blackish in color. And West Palm Beach was in between, no very visual difference in color between Miami and the West Palm Beach Canal. But I think sediment depth and other constructional activities in the canals may be other factors. Yes. Yes, I did. When I sampled my water each day to be analyzed for SRP, I replaced the water with DI water. Management, that's not really the focus of my study, but we do practice a lot of management techniques, and that's under the South Florida Water Management District. They do clean the canals, they dredge the canals, and they take out the particulate phosphorus, so they do a lot of stuff, yeah.
Okay, I think we can move on to the next speaker. Thank you, Johnny.